Thank you, Brother John, Ms. Jean. Appreciate that singing tonight from our church to the Lord. And this evening, we are going to look at this last portion of Scripture in Proverbs 3. And we're going to look at the keys of wisdom and basically finding happiness and wisdom. You know, everybody looks for happiness in everything under the sun except God's Word. And that's what blows me away. You know, when you talk to people and you counsel with people and you just visit with people and they talk about their happiness and they talk about what they're happy about or what they're happy in, and they put all their faith in, a lot of people put it in material things. Have you ever noticed that? And a lot of people put it in things that are not eternal. And so when they try to find their happiness in that, they always have a letdown. But I'm going to tell you something. You know, happiness is temporary, joy is forever. But there's a lot of days that, you know, we go to work and it's hard to be happy. Okay? There's a lot of days you get up and it's hard to be happy, right? But I'm going to tell you what, the Lord puts a song on our heart. And I want you guys to think about this tonight as we study these four keys to wisdom tonight, finding happiness in wisdom. We're going to break this down in four segments tonight and do our best. I know, you know, a lot of people say on Sunday nights you take a lot of time. Well, tonight I want to try to go through it and just give you what the Word of the Lord says and let you digest it, let you dwell on it, and let's go from there. I want you to look at verses 13 through 18 as we start this. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Listen to this. And happy are all who retain her. This is speaking of godly wisdom. Godly wisdom. So when we think about godly wisdom, and one of the keys to your happiness is when you have been saved by Jesus Christ, you are growing in Jesus Christ. You know, a believer never stays the same because he is always molding us into who he wants us to be. And he molds us not by making us happy, but he molds us by the chastening of his hand. And he molds us with trials, and he molds us with tribulation. And so as we go through life, church, there is no such thing as a bed of roses for Christians. As a matter of fact, you and I are going to lay on a bed of thorns. And as we go through this life, it's not going to be easy. As we go through this life, it's not going to be a cupcake. As we go through this life, it's going to be rather difficult. And so as we go through this life and it's being rather difficult, we need to be equipped. And how can we be equipped to be happy? We can be equipped to be happy when we have God's wisdom. Oh, as a young Christian, how I wish I had a mentor that would sit down with me and just went through the book of Proverbs. I wish I would have had that. Guys, I appreciate y'all being here tonight because if I would have had that when I was y'all's age, there would have been a lot of mistakes I wouldn't have made because of the teaching of God's Word. So I just want you to think about these things tonight when you think about wisdom. Wisdom is better than money and materialism. The writer here, Solomon, he says that her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, her gain than fine gold. Listen to this. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Y'all ever get jealous of other people? Come on, get real with me, right? I see somebody that's a millionaire, and I'm like, Lord, why didn't you bless me with that? Because you'd be bankrupt, Michael. That's why, right? You think about these things. You see these things. Jacqueline and I went on a little getaway this past weekend, and we went down to Jefferson, and we went in, and we seen that the Jefferson Hotel had been restored. And Jacqueline looked it up on the real estate, what they paid for it. And the guy that gave us the tour of the Jefferson Hotel, he was like, his son owned it. And he said, my son owns this much money in antiques. And my jaw just dropped. I was like, he owns this much money in antiques. He paid this much money for this hotel. And they're just, you know, wallowing in his money. And sometimes you think, Lord, couldn't that be me? But it wasn't. And let me tell you something about this. You and I, when we see the world, so many of us, we try to keep up with the Joneses. So many of us, we try to keep up with everything that's going around. If somebody builds a new house, we got to get a new house. When somebody gets a new vehicle, we got to get a new vehicle. When somebody gets a new suit or a new shirt or a new whatever, we've got to do that. Man, it's just a constant rat race. But I want to tell you something today. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs chapter 3 that wisdom is way more precious than any of that stuff. Okay? It's more valuable than silver. It's more valuable than gold. It's more valuable than rubies. And the Bible says here in what? In verse 15, all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Isn't that amazing? So as we look at this and walk through that, length of days in verse 16 is her right hand. In her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. It is a guarantee to all the happiness that you could ever want. The guarantee to all the happiness that you could ever want is found right here in godly wisdom. Godly wisdom. Godly wisdom does not just occur. It takes study. It takes trial. It takes error. It takes living. But when you get in the midst of life and you're equipped with godly wisdom, you are equipped better than no other soldier. So I want you to think about that now. What's some things that wisdom could give you? Well, the Bible points out it could give us pleasantness. I don't know about you, but I want that in my life. I hate ugliness, right? We're out in the world every day. I hate the ugliness. But what's one thing that I can be sure of? We see the things that happen at school, and it just sickens your stomach. You see the mistreatment of kids. You see the things that happen within just the dark well, the dark underbelly that's out there in our culture today. I mean, it's out there. And you get right in the middle of it, and it gets thrown right, slapped right on your desk. And how do you deal with that? Our police officers, how do they deal with that? Man, some of them become cold. They become indifferent. And the only way that you can deal with that dark underbelly that's out there today is through godly wisdom in His Word. In His Word. So, I ask a question for you tonight. Are you in God's Word? The pleasantness of God's Word. The second thing it brings us is peace. The word shalom in the Hebrew simply means this. It means a peace that you and I can't comprehend. You that are saved tonight and believers in Christ, you know exactly what that peace feels like. You know exactly what that peace is doing for you. Paul puts it this way. He says it's a peace that does what? Surpasses all understanding. It's a peace. The third thing that this wisdom is the key to happiness is that it gives us length of days. Length of days there in verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand. Why? Because wise people don't make foolish errors. Wise people don't make foolish errors. Length of days, a long life. And then last but not least, in verse 18, she is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Why? Because that godly wisdom, her roots are entrenched
by the water in Psalm 1. They're entrenched by the water. And so when we look at this tonight, we see that happy are all who retain our kids, adults. You want the key to a happy life? The first thing that you and I've got to understand is godly wisdom. Godly wisdom. The second thing is wisdom is the key to our protection. I want you to look at verses 19 through 26. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up and cloud drops down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Oh, isn't that beautiful? I want you to think about that tonight. What does wisdom do for us? Well, number one, wisdom, when you look at verses 19, you look at verse 20, and you look at verse 21, wisdom gives us discretion on decision making. The Lord himself needed wisdom. Where did this wisdom start from? It started from him. He always has been, always will be, always, forever and ever. The Alpha and the Omega start. There's, praise God, there's never a finish. Amen? He always has been. So when we look at God's attributes here tonight, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. Founded the earth. I know that there's a lot of different views in here tonight on creation. I've got my view. My view and $1.50 will buy you a Coke, right? At Albuquerque. Okay? There's some of your views in here. You tell me your views, hey, your opinion. It's the same thing. None of us know when the earth is formed. We can make educated guesses. I enjoy listening to Hank Hanegraaff, even though he's sometimes off on some things. He's considered to be the Bible answer man. He has founded in North Carolina the Christian Research Institute. And man, he's got a lot of great articles on his website, quip.org. It's good stuff. I mean, a lot of it is really good stuff. There's some of it I don't buy. But what do we know here? We know that the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. Listen to this, what the Solomon said here. He said, by understanding, he established the heavens. God created the heavens and the earth. Do you believe that tonight? Man, I do. We have so many people today that have put their faith in science. And it drives me absolutely crazy. Drives me absolutely crazy. They put their faith in a Big Bang Theory. And I hate Christians that say, well, who caused the Big Bang? Listen to me, Christians. There was no such thing as a Big Bang Theory. God created the heavens and the earth. It's very clearly spelled out in the book of Genesis. You can even go back further in history when you look at your Bible. The oldest book in our Bible is the book of Job. He says, the sons of God were there with me when I created the foundation of the earth. The sons of God, the angels, were there. They were created before the earth. And as they were created, they seen all this glory. And so when we look at this tonight, God in his infinite wisdom created the earth. He created the heavens. Look at what else Solomon says. And the clouds drop down the dew. Drop down the dew. Tonight, you think that's just caused by a chemical reaction? You lost your mind. We get rain on February the 28th of 2021, because God had already ordained that before the beginning of time. That's who he is. And when we don't relish in who he is, then we have totally missed the mark. Because we just think, oh, by chance, oh, it's thundering in February. If it thunders in February, it'll snow in April. Come on, guys. Stop reading your farmer's almanac and read the Word of God. He's the one that puts everything in process. And when he puts things in process, watch this. It's not chaotic. It's not just some cosmos that's just put out there and old tornadoes happen because of this, because of that. Everything that happens, happens because He ordains it. He is God, and we are dust. Always remember that. And so we look at this. Why is this important, Michael? Because Solomon made this to his son Rehoboam. He said, "My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion." Verse 22, "So they'll be life to your soul and grace to your neck." Life to your soul and grace to your neck. Wisdom gives you the ability to make discretion. It gives you the ability to make sound wisdom. Sound wisdom in the Hebrew, you know what the word actually means? It means victory. Amen. You want to have victory in life? Well, then have sound wisdom. You want to have discretion in life? Then have sound wisdom. Discretion. What is discretion? Every one of us in here need discretion when we're making decisions in our life. Where does that start? It should start in your own house. When you're making decisions for your family, that discretion shouldn't come because you're getting a better paying job here, or you need to do this because, you know, we need to join the dance team, and we need to do the dance team because our little girl's such a talented dancer. But you know what? If we're going to join the dance team, that means that we're going to be going on Sundays, and we're going to be going on Saturday, and we're going to be going to all the competitions. Hogwash! You make decisions for your family based on discretion of what? Sound wisdom. Why? Because dance, T-ball, football, basketball, Six Flags, Walmart does not give you victory. Jesus Christ gives us victory. And we need to look at the Word of God and understand that. I get so aggravated at people so many times. Discretion on decision making when it comes to your family, when it comes to your job, when it comes to life decisions. You think I just willy-nilly went into the superintendent's office one day and said, "I'm going to resign, sir." You think that was just some willy-nilly thing that I just thought up that day? No. It's discretion that's been based on sound wisdom, and that wisdom has not been given to me by anybody but God. You have those things in your life where you have to have discretion on decision-making. Family, life decisions, job, the church, whatever it may be that happens. So many people want to use their human discretion. And our human discretion is very flawed. Our human discretion will always let down. God's sound wisdom never lets down. My encouragement to you tonight is to have discretion in His sound judgment, His sound wisdom on your decision making. The second thing that wisdom to the key to protection is this, it gives you courage over fear. I want you to look at verse 24. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Our little Lacey, she liked to have a light on. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of you hadn't grown out of that. You like to have a light on. Some of you, when you go to bed at night, you can't sleep because you're thinking about everything that's happened during the day. You're thinking about what's on your plate tomorrow. You're thinking about all these things. And I'm going to tell you what, boy, our teacher, Brother Steve, and our Sunday school class, man, we had a bang-up lesson series on the full armor of God. We talked today about anxiety. And boy, anxiety's at an all-time high. And there's only one cure for anxiety, and that's the peace that comes from Jesus Christ. That's it. You can go down there and get your doctor to prescribe you everything in the world to help you sleep. I was in an interesting conversation the other day. I was sitting around a table of a group of educated people, and they started talking about what they took to help them go to sleep. They got to me. "Well, Mr. Myers, what do you take to help you go to sleep?" Nothing. By the time I get home and I lay my head to the bed, out. Nothing. I'm not trying to knock anybody here tonight. tonight that takes medication. I'm not trying to say that. But when you have godly wisdom in your life, He guarantees us this. He guarantees us when you lie down, you will not be afraid. You'll not be afraid. You'll not be afraid. Yes, listen to this. You will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. So, you know what the Hebrew, it means uninterrupted. How many of you want that? Amen? How many of you want that? Uninterrupted, this, that solid sleep. And when you get up that next day, man, you feel like a million bucks, you're ready to go take on the world. This is what He's talking about. You're not afraid. You're not afraid. I was talking to a guy the other day, and I get tickled sometimes at people. You know? They don't sleep well because they're always thinking about this, they're thinking about that. And he pulled out his .40 caliber. And he said, "This is all me all the time." I said, "Man, I wouldn't be coming in your house." Then he said, "When I'm sitting there in my chair in my recliner, I sleep in my recliner." He said, "I got my other 9mm right here." And then he said, "You ought to go back there and look in my safe." He said, "So when I lay down at night, I'm protected." Oh, really? Right? Hey, listen. When you've got the Lord, you don't need a gun in your house. Because His solid wisdom, His victory that He gives each and every one of you, you can lie down at night and not be afraid. You can lie down at night and you can have sweet sleep. Isn't that beautiful? From His Word tonight. And then last but not least under this wisdom is the key to protection is this. It gives you confidence in facing the world. I want you to look at verse 25 and 26. "Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes." And church, listen, it's going to come. If it ain't already come in your life today, it's going to come. The wicked's going to come. There's going to be sudden terror that's going to happen in your life. I don't know what it is. But just know this, it's going to happen. And so you and I have to be prepared. And so how do we be prepared? Well, look at verse 26. "For the Lord will be your confidence." The Lord will be your confidence. I don't know about you, but that's the only assurance that I can ever hang my hat on. The Lord will be your confidence. He goes on, he says here, he says it will keep your foot from being caught. Your foot from being caught. Dr. J. Vernon McGee in his commentary, and we talked about this morning in our class. Dr. Jeremiah said in his lesson about progressive prayer and proactive prayer, and it was really good. The lesson, man, it's just been top notch. Anyways, I was thinking about this when I was studying this. And I was looking in commentaries about this confidence that keeps your foot from getting caught. Okay, when I get up in the morning and I get my pickup and I've got my girls secured and we go to school, and we get on that school bus and we run that school bus route and then we get back to school and Abby stays on with me at the bus, but I see Brooke and Caitlin go into that cafeteria, I feel confident. Does that make sense? Okay? And then Abby's with me, and she goes back to the bus barn with me. Then we get back in my truck, and we get back down on campus, and I walk her to Miss Gilbreth's class, and then I say good morning to Miss Gilbreth, and Miss Gilbreth says, "Hi, how's everything going?" And then Abby is secure in Miss Gilbreth's room. Does this make sense? I feel confident. I feel assured. Okay? What about those mornings that have happened these last couple of weeks, okay? When, "Hey, Michael, we need you to come over to the nurse's office real quick. Caitlin just threw up in the hallway." Right? You get nervous, right? "Oh, my goodness, does she have COVID? Hey, Brooke just threw up in the hallway. What's going on here? Oh, man. Natalie, will you give Brooke a COVID test? Oh, Abby's head started to hurt. She probably needs to go home too." And man, your world just seems like it's right. Because when your kids get sick, then you get sick, right? You say, "Lord, take it off them and put it on me." So, are we truly confident in the Lord, even in these times of trials? Think about this. Dr. J. Vernon McGee said this in his commentary. I thought it was pretty good. He said, when I'm on the ground, my prayers are full of confidence. And he says, I have a phobia. And that phobia that I have is, he said, I was scared to death to fly. And he said, when I got in an airplane, he said, I knew one thing was going to happen. We were going to crash. So he said, when I prayed, he said, my prayers were shaky. How many of you can witness to that this evening, right? When everything's going great, our prayers are confident. But when we get into the midst of trials and troubles, and boy, I've been there. When your stomach is not here, but it's right here. And you can't even utter a word to the Lord because you've got tears running down your eyes. When you get to that point, church, I want you to remember this. Take it from me. Take it from the Word of God. You can be confident because the Lord is your confidence. And this promise He gives to us tonight, that He'll keep our foot from being caught. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? Number three. Not only does He give us the wisdom that's the key to happiness, wisdom is the key to protection, but wisdom is also the key to doing good. Watch this. You cannot do good. None of you can. I can't. You can't. None of us can. You know why? Because none of us are righteous. No, not one. I have to go back and preach this morning's message, right? I hope we've made that point today, that we're sinners, okay? And so anything that good comes out of us doesn't come from us. It comes from Him. I want you to go in your Bibles real quick tonight to Ephesians chapter 2. And I want you to go to verse 10. Verse 10 is quoted a lot, but I don't think we ever just break it down. Everybody knows this passage of Scripture here. For by grace you have been saved through faith. All of you know this. And then not of yourselves, what? It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now we get to verse 10. For we are His workmanship. The Greek word means we're like a poetry. We're like a poem. Okay? Created in Christ Jesus for good works. For good works. So follow me. Were these good works something that you thought of? Sorry. Not what the Bible teaches. Were these good works that something that just said, oh man, I've been spurred on to do this, so it's coming for me, therefore it ought to be good. Listen, if it's coming from us, let me just be honest with you. If it's coming from me, it's nothing but filthy rags. But see, when it comes from the Lord, look at His sovereignty. It was prepared beforehand for what? That we, the body of Christ, should walk in them. Isn't that incredible? So when we talk about wisdom, is the key to doing good. It is a gift. It is a work. It is a good work that has been planned beforehand to not bring you and I glory, but watch this, to bring Him glory. And we always have to remember that when we serve in the local church, whether we're on the mission field, sometimes we can get what many of the old-timers used to say, too big for your britches. Okay? Wisdom is the key to doing good. It gives you the power to do good. It gives you the power to do good. Look here in verses 27 through 32. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do so. When it's in the power of your hand to do so. When you have the ability to do something good for somebody, you need to ask yourself a question. God, is this in your will? Have you placed this on my heart? Because this is what you called me to do. I think that's very crucial. Very crucial. when people come across my desk when I have to approve their contracts, and I have to affirm them to get a contract for the next year, I put little sidebars out to the side. Give this person a raise. Okay? Is that something that I just thought of, or was that something that God put on my heart beforehand? You have to ask yourself these questions. Dr. J. Vernon McGee, in his commentary, talked about his dad out in West Texas. He said his dad and him were riding in the wagon, and they were going to town, and they seen the cows that got loose out on some property, and the gate was unlocked. He said his dad stopped the wagon, his dad got out, rounded up all the cows and put them back in the pasture, and then he locked the gate, and he never told anybody. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Amen? So when we look at this tonight, my prayer to us is that when we have the ability to do good, when it is in our power of our hand to do so, that we do not withhold it, but we do what? We freely yield. Why? Because God has given to us. Think about that. Then, it gives you the personality on how to get along with others. Man, I wish our church was packed tonight. It gives you the personality on how to get along with others. Look at verse 29 and 30. Do not devise evil against your neighbor. You think, well, what is evil? Well, evil can be anything from gossiping behind their back to what I call snubbing. There's a lot of people that don't think that, well, that's evil. No, man, let me tell you, evil starts in a man's heart. And things that are evil in a man's heart, Jesus said these things that are evil in our heart, they eventually come out of our mouths and they come out of us. Okay? So you have to do what? You have to do a self-check. The Bible tells us to examine our salvation. The Bible tells us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So as I'm doing that, I'm going through this and I'm looking at some things. How did I treat my fellow church member? Was I kind to them today? Or was I the north end of a southbound mule? Right? Right? I'm going to get real with us tonight. Because there are some people, when we get in the confines of the local church, they don't know what love is. They don't know what kindness is. They don't know what patience is. They don't know. Did you know, I was told this a long time ago, did you know that it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile? Think about that. And so when we look at this tonight, it gives you the personality on how to get along with others. How do you get along with your friends? Right? Do your friends like being around you? If they don't, stop blaming the friends for the struggles. Look in the mirror. I do that sometimes. Right? Am I a know-it-all? Do I need to just shut up and listen rather than dominating the talking all the time? I look at these things as friends. I look at these things as family. How to get along in your family. To make sure that your family's a cohesive unit. Men, we need to learn these things. Amen? We need to be the leaders. We need to be the spiritual leaders in our household so that we have a cohesive family unit. We need to be able to do this with coworkers. Our working relationship's incredible. I love my people at our school. There's so many tight bonds out there. And they'll tell you, when I get up at a faculty meeting, I always say in the spring, I want our kids to do everything. If we got a quilting class, I want them to quilt. If we got tiddlywinks, I want them to tiddlywink. I want our kids in everything representing Alba Golden, because I really do. I believe it gives you a well-rounded education. And this is what I found out in life. People that have been in band, people that have been in FFA, people that have been in drama and theater, people that have played sports, people that have been in things that depended on other people, what we would call a team, they learn how to work better with others. But when you got people that have never been on any team whatsoever in their life, what they tend to do is they come in and they want it their way and nobody else's way. And I'm going to tell you this old acronym I saw at Robert E. Lee one time when I was coaching basketball, and I'll never forget it. It was on the back of their team shooting shirt. It said, team, together, everyone achieves more. Not just one superstar, but together, everyone achieves more. He gives us the personality on how to get along with others. What do your neighbors say about you? What do your coworkers say about you? What does your friends say about you? What does your family say about you? What does your church say about you? Wow. I think we should really take a self-check then. I think we should ask ourselves some questions. When that snow hit, we would check in on our neighbors to see how everything was going. And one neighbor we didn't see for a while. We didn't know what was going on. And I would see their front porch lights on at night, and I would see their TV going. And I told Jack, oh, they're fine. They're in there. I see the TV from our window. I see it going in there. They're fine. She said, no, something ain't right. I said, okay. So I texted him. See, I'm not trying to be that nosy neighbor. I just want to make sure you and your wife's okay. He said, man, I appreciate that. And you're not being a nosy neighbor. Thank you for checking in on us. Those simple little things like that. He gives us the power to be able to get along with people. In verse 28, do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I'll give it to you. When you have it with you that day. Man, I've been with people before that said, Michael, I'm struggling right now. You think you can let me borrow $10 just to get a bite to eat? Michael, you think you can let me borrow $20 to get some gas? Boy, I'd look in my wallet. I'd say, no, I don't have nothing right now. Can I get a witness? When I had the ability to pull that out and say, yeah. Now, let's go back to discretion. You have to be able to discern people. I had a guy that I used to coach, and he would come around, and I knew he was struggling. I knew he was. And he said, Coach Mizer, I'm really struggling. I need some gas. I said, you meet me at Chevron, Kelly's Corner over here, at 5 o'clock today, and I'll fill your truck. And I did. Well, then, just like a good old puppy, when you feed them, they keep coming back. He kept coming back. And I finally told him, I said, where are you living at? He said, well, here. And he told me the situation he was in. I said, well, I'm going to tell you something. I said, I talked to your grandparents. And your grandparents told me that you could come back and live at their house. And they would take care of you until you got on your feet and got a job. I said, tonight is the last time I'm going to help you. Now, whether he did that or not, I don't know. But we have to have what? The gift of what? Discernment. The gift of discretion. And so I want you to think about that today. You have that personality to be able to get along with us. That's what Solomon's saying here. He says, don't say to your neighbor, go and come back tomorrow and I'll get it to you. Hey, can I borrow your weed eater today? No, I can't let you borrow it today. No, come on, get the weed eater. If you need the blower, get it too, right? That's where our heart should be. Give it to them. Verse 29, do not devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. Have you ever thought about that? Our neighbors are surrounding us so that we protect each other. Right? They're there for our safety's sake. So I want you to think about that. The personality on how to get along with others. And then verse 31 and 32. Do not strive with a man. Excuse me, verse 30. Do not strive with a man without cause if he has done you no harm. Man, I know people, they just like to argue. Right? I know people that like to argue at the drop of a dime. They just like to argue about something. They like to find little mini conflicts. I see it especially in the church where there's some dynamic egos. Well, He didn't speak to me today. Well, she never speaks to me. How about us swallowing our pride and come to church? Hey, how you doing? And if they don't speak back, hey, watch this. My Bible tells me that when we do good to others that are persecuting us, here's what's going to happen. It's going to be like hot coals being poured on top of that enemy's head. Think about that. Bless those who persecute us. That is hard, isn't it? Can I get a witness? But that's what he calls us to do. Don't strive with a man without cause if he's done you no harm. If he's done you no harm. If I got my feelings hurt every time somebody didn't say, hi, Michael, when I said hi to them, I'd be a basket case. Right? I'd be a basket case. I'd be a mess. I would get, if I got my feelings hurt over every little time somebody didn't speak to me, or somebody didn't pat me on the back or hug my neck or say something to me, man, I tell you what. Think about that, church. Do not strive with a man without cause, but he has done you no harm. Do not envy the oppressor. The oppressor in the King James Version here, the New King James Version here, means the violent man. Do not be envious of the violent man. When I was a high school student, we always talked about who is the toughest kid in the school. And now I get out of school, and I'm 40, fixing to be 45 years old, and I still talk about, man, that dude's tough. Don't mess with him. He'll knock you out in one punch. Don't mess with that dude. He's bad. Don't mess with him. Do not envy the violent person. Do not envy the oppressor. There's a lot of people out there, man, they make their mark on how bad they are, on how violent they are. There's people out there that make a living on that. They get that UFC octagon ring, and there's people when they get out of that UFC octagon ring, they say, don't fight that guy. I've heard that a million times about Conor McGregor. They said, whatever you do, don't mind that guy on the street because he will knock you out. That skinny little Irishman, I could take him in a heartbeat. Don't joke yourself. Do not envy the oppressor. And listen to what Solomon says. Choose none of his ways. Choose none of his ways. I'll never forget this as long as I live. I'm not going to say names, because if I did tonight, some of you don't. When I was in high school and in college, we started the Sonic and make our way down to the post office and just make that round. So stupid. I mean, we just made that round. made that round. I seen a guy that was 6'5", weighed 325 pounds, could whoop anything walking the streets of Minneapolis. He will beat them. Probably still good. If I seen him today, I wouldn't mess with him. I seen him in a football game one time. He'd come up and hug my neck. I was like, man, I'm glad you're on my side. And I seen him in the Brewer Insurance parking lot get taken down by a Minneapolis police officer that was 5'6" and weighed 125 pounds soaking wet. I'll never forget that. Everybody around town looked up to the oppressor. Oh, he works anybody. That little cop walks up on him, he'll just stomp him like a shrimp. No, that's not what happened. Kids, don't envy the violent person. Solomon says, choose none of his ways. If you're here tonight and you like that kind of lifestyle, Solomon says, choose none of his ways. He goes on, he says, for the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. A perverse person is an abomination to the Lord. Wisdom gives you the understanding of what is right and wrong. Wisdom gives you the understanding to say, I don't need to hang around with that perverse person because that perverse person is somebody that the Lord despises. He abhors. That word in the Greek means that he hates. He hates that person that is perverse. We're fixing to get in this book really deep. And Solomon says, oh, there's six things. No, seven things that the Lord hates. He can't stand this perverse person. It's an abomination to the Lord, but listen to this. His secret counsel, praise God, is with the upright. His secret counsels with the righteous. When you pray, do you feel the Lord's presence? Amen. When you read the Word of God, does He enlighten you? Amen. when you're around fellow believers like we are tonight, I hope and pray you're encouraged. I am. I hope and pray that you're edified tonight by being in the presence of church, under the preaching of the word, under the singing and praises of songs, under the prayer to the Lord. I hope and pray you're encouraged by this. He says the secret counsel is with the upright. And now we get to the last one. Wisdom is the key to understanding God's justice. Our God is a righteous God. Verse 33 through 35. The curse of the Lord. Wow. The curse of the Lord. Isn't that what he said? Guys, when we hear Wednesday night studying Matthew 25. The sheep blessed, but the goats cursed. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked. The Hebrew word means lawless. Those that are lawless. The curse of the Lord is upon them. If you're working in the school system, in the school business, you can see the curse of the Lord upon the house that is wicked. But watch this. But he blesses the home of the just. He blesses the home of the just. Did you know that you can have a blessed family tonight? You know how you do that? By upholding the justice of the Word of God. Justice of the Word of God. You say, Michael, am I doing that? I tell you what, I love living life together with you guys. We got families in our church that it's just cool to have kids over. It's cool to hang out with. It's cool to go through the process of life. I enjoy that. I really do. We had a get-together over at our house. I can't even remember what it was. And David Goff and Robin's daughter wanted to spend the night. Then Faith wanted to spend the night. Faith's a little bit up. Sure, we'll have fun. John and Lanita said, here's the rules, Michael. Here's what happens at this time with a cell phone. Oh, okay. We respect that. So I went in there at that time, and I said, okay, girls, I need all the devices. And we took the devices up. Not one, oh, Dad, all this, all that. Yes, sir. Where did this start? Parents. And I appreciate these parents tonight. I appreciate all our parents in this church tonight. Melissa has been over with Madeline at our house. I see it in the way that you're raising your kids. And I see your kids walk through the church, and I see them at school, and I see them just growing in the Lord. Where did that start? It started because you are just parents in the Lord. You set rules and parameters in your home. And there's a reason for that structure in your home. Kids, I know you say, man, I wish they wasn't so tough on me. Guys, when you get older, you're going to look back and you're going to say, thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad. I promise you. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but listen to this. He blesses the home of the just. He blesses the home where people have justice. And then look at the next part. Surely he scorns the scornful. That simply means this. He mocks the mockers. The ones that make fun of godly parents, in the end, in verse 35, it says they'll inherit the glory. Praise God. He mocks the mockers. He scorns the scornful. I grew up where some parents that were friends of mine, they let their kids do whatever they wanted to. And they did that for one reason. Because they wanted to be a friend instead of being a mama and a daddy. We are called to be mamas and daddies, my friends. And so when we look at this tonight, he scorns the scornful. But I love this. James 4 and 6 and 1 Peter 5 and 5. He gives grace to who? He gives grace to the humble. The lowly. The humble. BJ, y'all know BJ. He goes to church here. He's a character. I like BJ. We went to the wrestling matches last night. Man, we had fun. I was sitting by BJ and he said, all these wrestlers got these egos. I said, BJ, That's just the way a lot of them were brought up. He said, but they need to be humble, don't they, Michael? I said, yeah. I said, they need to be humble and hungry. He said, I like that. Humble and hungry. Hey, watch this. Our God, you know what he does? He gives grace to the humble. So where does that take us tonight? It takes us to verse 35, and let's close. Verse 35 says, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. This is a metaphor, if you will. The wise shall inherit glory. Saved, we have a home waiting for us, not built by human hands. Aren't you grateful for that? The wise shall inherit glory. And the only way you can inherit something from somebody is if you have a relationship. And my prayer tonight is that the blood of Jesus Christ has covered your soul. If you have a relationship with him, that you can be considered wise and that you will inherit glory. Because what's the negative to that? Well, the negative is, in verse 35, shame shall be the legacy of fools. Their honor is shame. What they'll be remembered for is shame. And the metaphor to this tonight is this. They'll be remembered as nothing but a fool. And tonight, there's a lot of educated people. A lot of educated people. There's a lot of people that don't believe. There's a lot of people that hate what we're doing here tonight. They hate it. And their legacy will be nothing of shame because the fool has said in their heart that there is no God. There is no God. Where do you stand tonight, church? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for New Hope Baptist Church. We thank you for their dedication to you, to their dedication to the Word, to their dedication to serving you. Lord, as we look at wisdom tonight, Lord, my prayer is they've looked at these components of wisdom. And Lord, it has been alluring to them. It has been alluring to them because your Holy Spirit is drawing them closer to you. And as they are being drawn closer to you, as they look at these aspects of wisdom, Lord, I pray as a church, we don't seek man's ways. But, Lord, we seek your way. Lord, thank you for your word being a roadmap. Thank it for being a lamp. Lord, I pray tonight for our families in this church. Strengthen them. Lord, guide them. Lord, preserve them. And, Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. To our guests tonight, we want to thank you for being here. We're going to go into our church business meeting. If you have any questions, anything about the message tonight, give me a call, email, text. I'd be happy to meet you. Are you off that?